thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alan Ickrig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our service a blessing to you today. We're opening our service with a selection, The Church's Jubilee. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today, and we're trusting that you will use us and use our broadcast to make it a blessing to each one. We are not able to see our congregation, but I know you see each and every one, regardless of what country they may be in. You see them and you understand their needs. And we're trusting that we'll be able to bring forth truths that will be a benefit and a blessing to our congregation, and that you shall be glorified in all that is said and done For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The West Virginia Trio continues the musical part of our service today, singing for us The Blood-Bought Church. Our subject today, the Church of God, and our text of Scripture, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. First of all, let me say, there is a misunderstanding on the part of some, thinking that Jesus was referring to Peter as the rock on which he would build his church. But Jesus was not referring to Peter. He was in reality referring to himself. Peter had said, when Jesus had asked the disciples who men said he was, and then he said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus is confirming the fact that what Peter said was true and that he was the rock. And I want you to notice in our text of Scripture today that Jesus said he would build his church. So Jesus is the builder. It was not built by man. But according to our text, Jesus Christ said he would build it. Now, Jesus Christ is the head of it. Not some man, no, And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. The government of the church is on Christ's shoulder, not a group of men, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Now Jesus is the door. Men talk about opening the door of the church, taking people in. But beloved, Jesus is the door, and man cannot open it, and neither can man shut it. But the one who opens it, and same one can shut it. And that one is, of course, is Jesus Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we read in John chapter 10 and verse 9. You cannot join the church. No, any church that you can join is not the one the Bible calls the church of God. So man cannot join God's church. The only way to get in his church is to be born again. You must be born with a spiritual birth. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus when Nicodemus came inquiring about what he must do to have eternal life? Jesus told him he must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand how it was that he, being an old man, could re-enter his mother's womb and be born again the second time. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So the new birth, the spiritual birth, is what makes you a member of the church of God. And that's the only way to become a member of the church of God, is through being born again. It is only the blood-bought church in the world. Yes, the church of God is the only blood-bought church in the world. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that's Acts 20 and 28. And Paul there was speaking to the elders of Ephesus. And he told them to take heed unto themselves, and then they were to take heed unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers. And he went on to say that Christ had purchased this church with his own blood. Again, that's Acts 20 and 28. It is the only church in the world that includes every Christian. And let me repeat that. It is the only church in the world that includes every Christian. Everyone who is born again is born into the family of God. You cannot be spiritually born into any other. So the only way into the church is by being born again, and all of those who have been born again are Christians, and they are in that one church because they were born there. So it's the only church in the world that includes every Christian. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. That's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And I'd like for you to notice something else in this passage of Scripture, and that is that the family is named after the Father, not after the Son. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It is the only church that the Spirit of God dwells in. We read in the Word of God, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And again, that's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's telling them there is one body, in other words, the body of Christ, and there is one Spirit, and you'll find that one Spirit in the one body. And we read in James 2:26, the body without the Spirit is dead. So the Spirit of God dwells in the church of God, in the body of Christ. And it is he, or through him, that the church has life. It is the only church that the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts to. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diverse differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the entire body. The spiritual gifts are not given for the profit of the individual that they are given to, but they are given for the profit and the benefit of the entire body of Christ. Dropping down to the 27th verse of this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of languages. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with different languages? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then follows 1 Corinthians 13, the one we call the love chapter. And I'll not go into that today, for it does not have direct bearing on the subject at hand. Now, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. The word means a called out group, a separate people. The Hebrew word congregation means the same thing. The church of God is God's Israel today. But now look at this for a moment, the name Church of God. I just read that the word Greek word ekklesia means a called out or a separate people. So the church means a group of people separated from the world, separated from sin. And then whenever you put the word of there, it denotes property or belonging to. So we've got a group of people that are of God. Now that's the church of God. Those that do belong to God through the redemptive power of the blood of Christ. The church is a holy people. Yes, the church is a holy people. There are no sinners in it. Well, I know it's a common expression that there's good and bad in all, and you'll find hypocrites in all. Just because a hypocrite may assemble in a congregation of the church of God does not mean that they are in the church of God. Again, I say the Church of God is a holy people, and there are no sinners in it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a separate people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, the church is God's temple today. I know the millennialists want you to believe that there's going to be a rebuilt temple over there in Jerusalem, and the Jews are going to start offering animal sacrifices again. Beloved, the blood of Jesus Christ is all that is needed for the world today. To be cleansed by and through the blood of Christ makes you a child of God. There will not be a temple in Jerusalem that God will dwell in. I'm not saying there won't someday be another temple built, but it will not be a temple where God will dwell in it. The church is God's temple today. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. So God's temple today is His redeemed people, not some literal building in Jerusalem or in Salt Lake City or anywhere else. God's people are His dwelling place on earth today. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? The membership of the Church of God is a spiritual brotherhood. Jesus said to the disciples, "One is your master, even Christ, and all of you are brethren." So the membership of the Church of God is a spiritual brotherhood. All the children of God are brothers and sisters in the Lord. God sets the members in the church. Now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him? So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Some have been called to be ministers, and some of them, of those ministers, have been called to be pastors. Not all ministers have the gift of pastoring. The duties of the pastor are to preach and teach the Word of God, to administer the ordinances, to baptize new converts, and the government, that is, the spiritual government of the church, is a part of the responsibility of the pastor. The term elder denotes a spiritual ruler, and we read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they might be give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Hebrews 13 and 17. And also in the congregation there should be deacons, and the word deacon means helpers. They are helpers to the pastor, and not only to the pastor, but to the congregation as well. And they are in a congregation there because God has given them the gift of deaconship. Yes, that is a spiritual gift along with others. It is a spiritual office, but can include temporal matters as well. Teachers are needed in a congregation that has weekly Bible classes and teaching is one of the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And teachers fill a very important place in the congregation, along with the deacons and the pastor. Ministers are not legislators for the church. Let me repeat that. Ministers are not legislators for the church. The rule and discipline of the church, as well as its articles of faith, are laid down in the Bible. No minister or a group of ministers is authorized to add to or to take away from the Word of God. That which is written, a pastor is not to require of the congregation anything that is not taught in the Bible, either directly or in principle. The Bible is our rule of faith, and Christ alone is Lord. All we are equal in His sight when we obey His Word. Now, more could be said about the church, but I trust this will be a blessing to our congregation today. Father, we do thank You for the privilege of sharing this message with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has carried it to hearts and will make it a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If our service has been a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly magazine on our webpage. You can also listen to a previous broadcast, if you would like, by going to our webpage. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, we thank you for being a part of our service or congregation today, and we invite you to tune in next week for another Way of Truth broadcast.
Jesus, and letting the world go by. Jesus, let the world go by. I'll claim his promise, he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Yes, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by.